Looking ahead at the upcoming week in the canyons of Wall Street, we will start out on Monday with the report on retail sales. Now, retail sales will be reported for the month of March. The consensus estimate is that retail sales in the month of March increased 0.4%. Now, you may recall retail sales have been on the soft side for a while. In fact, in the month of February, they were reported to be down 0.1%. Well, the consensus calls for 0.4% increase in the month of March. We'll have that report 8:30 Eastern on Monday morning. They also report retail sales less automobiles, and that estimate is for a gain of 0.2%, which would match the gain from the prior month. Notice that if you annualize those numbers, you get to 2.4%. And so many of our economic numbers have been in the twos for such a very, very long time, multiple years of economic numbers boiling down into the twos. It'll be interesting to see how that comes out. Later in the month, we'll get the first quarter estimate for gross domestic product. And right now, based on the numbers being kept at the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank, that number is also in the twos. So we'll see how that plays out. That does jump around a little bit, but we won't have that first estimate. And remember, you get three numbers, right? You get the preliminary, then you get the revised, and you get the final revision. So we'll see how that number comes out. But right now, it seems to be running in the twos. And we've had a lot of numbers in the twos for a really long time, going back so many, many years. So we'll get that retail sales number coming out on Monday, along with the housing market index. And, of course, the housing market has continued to percolate. And the housing market index is estimated to be unchanged at the 70 level. And anything close to that would be fine, because readings above 50 are expansionary, are favorable for housing. And so we'll be looking for that number at 11 a.m., make it 10 a.m. Eastern time on Monday. Moving to Tuesday, we'll get an 8:30 Eastern time report on housing, the housing starts and permits number. And both are looking a little bit better. The consensus for starts is 1.269 million. That would be an uptick. And the permits estimate is 1.311 million. That would be an uptick. We'll see how this plays out. But housing starts are looking good for the month of March. February was a disappointment, but sometimes the weather can get in the way on things like that. They had a lot of nor'easter activity in the northeastern part of the United States, the Atlantic and New England area, in the last several weeks. So we'll see how that might play into the numbers as well. But those numbers will be coming out for housing on Tuesday morning, the housing starts. We'll also get industrial production coming out on Tuesday morning. It'll be busy. It'll be busy in the economic data flow. And industrial production is estimated to be up 0.4% for March. It was up 1.1% in February. And those numbers will be coming out on Tuesday morning as well. Industrial production has been held back by weakness in the manufacturing component. And certainly that could happen again in March. Manufacturing is estimated to be up 0.2% compared to 0.4% for the overall number of industrial production. But we certainly have seen some improvements in manufacturing over the past, especially over the past year, I would say. We have seen some improvement in the manufacturing figures. We'll also get the Beige Book on Wednesday morning, and that will give us a look, a snapshot at what's been happening in recent weeks by the Fed survey of the economy. We'll get jobless claims Thursday morning. The estimate is 226,000. That would be down from 233,000 last week. And I might add, we've had 3 years in a row now where jobless claims have been near record lows. It's been a sensational run for low jobless claims, and that's a really good measure of layoff activity. That tells us that layoff activity has been really low over the last 3 years, based on historical comparison. Also Thursday, we'll get the leading economic indicators from the Conference Board. They're estimated to be up 0.2%. They were up 0.6% the prior month. So a smaller increase, but an increase nonetheless is anticipated in those figures. So it's going to be a week where we're going to be hearing from a number of Federal Reserve Bank presidents and governors of the Federal Reserve. They'll be out there speaking this week. We'll have Rafael Bostic speaking on Monday. We'll have John Williams, Randall Quarles, and Charles Evans speaking on Tuesday, William Dudley on Wednesday. I mean, it will be a week where they'll be out there. Charles Evans will be back out there on Friday morning giving their speeches. But I think that the transparency that has been coming from the Fed under new Fed Chair Jerome Powell has been good transparency. They will be meeting again, by the way, the Federal Open Market Committee on the 1st and 2nd of May. No change in short-term interest rates is expected at that meeting. Right now, the federal funds rate is in the 1.5 to 1.75 range, and it's expected to remain there following the May 1st, May 2nd Federal Open Market Committee meeting. They will then reconvene in mid-June, and that'll be a major media conference meeting, and most are expecting another rate increase at the June Fed meeting as the process of interest rate normalization goes on. And now we see the growing quantitative tightening process going on. So we have monetary tightening on two fronts, rising interest rates and quantitative tightening. And that's going to be going on for some time. You know, I got a kick out of watching Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg before the, I didn't watch it all. I mean, it wasn't that interesting, but some of the softballs that were lobbed at the CEO were, well, they were pretty pathetic, but I'm going to talk about that in a moment. 2 days, one with the Senate committee, one with the House committee. And, you know, the thing that struck me was I saw a list, and I guess many of you have seen the list of contributions that's, that Facebook has made to many of these politicians. A lot of the people, think about this now. I just talked about the best government money can buy. That's what I believe we have. Now, Mark Zuckerberg is in the hot seat before the Senate members and the House members that were questioning him, right? And I'm looking at these softball questions. Some of them were ridiculous, like, oh, wow, you know, everybody in my house uses Facebook. It's great. I mean, what was this? Was this a coronation or was this? I don't know what it was. But then I looked up the list of the contributions that Facebook has made to the politicians. And I saw Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, has taken over $40,000 in campaign money from Facebook. And then I saw Kamala Harris, the senator from California, has taken over $30,000 from Facebook. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a long list of both parties involved taking money from Facebook for campaigns. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, time out here. How can I sit on a Senate or a congressional committee and question the CEO of Facebook about all of the stuff that's been coming down when I'm taking tens of thousands of dollars of money from this guy's company? And we all know he knows where the contributions are being made. So what is this? I'll tell you what it is. This is what it is. Is this really happening? Are they trying to pretend that they're doing a Q&A with this guy when his company is giving them all this money? And in the aggregate, if you take all the money that Facebook has given to politicians, you're way into the millions, many, many millions of dollars. The best government money can buy is right here in the USA.